This is an iHeartRadio New Zealand podcast.
We've got a special guest joining us now, Aussie cricket legend Matthew Hayden.
You're looking very Miami Vice too, might I say. Great tan.
Oh, wow.
Can you give us an insight into the Ashes?
I'll give you an insight as to who wins the Ashes in Australia, and that's
former world champion tree climber Barton Allen Hall.
Girth or length? What's the hardest to climb?
Taylor, who's your favourite sports person?
Probably Andrew Hamilton. No, Lewis Hamilton.
Can someone give us an insight into the Aussie Kiwi saga? You played with a number of Kiwis when you're in Brisbane.
I actually prefer Kiwis over New South Welshmen.
Wow.
Hold on, sorry. Can I grab one of those?
Warm, mate.
Yeah, it's right.
Slow down.
Doesn't matter.
It's going to look like I'm the piss ball that drank those.
Okay, right. Okay. Look, hey, guys, this is a really serious show. I want everyone to just think.
Sorry, Skip.
Okay? You're right, Macca? This is Sports Cafe Takes on Australia. Mark and I are Sports Cafe.
Oh, now you want me on your side. You turn around and give me shit and you want me to back you up.
Man. What do you mean? You've been giving me shit for like 20 years.
It's my job.
Yeah. So joining us in Sports Cafe Australia, we've got Big Bash legend Chris Lynn.
Looking fit as a fiddle, might I say, like a racing sardine.
Fresh shave too.
Yeah. Racing sardine with pecs. It's like you don't expect that out of
Are you going to do a rundown and never run an intro?
Form it.
Hold on, no.
Shut up.
I'm going to do the intro.
Give me a chance. So it's Magnum PI, yeah. Basically side on. Like I'm going, it's like Magnum PI, but he's driven his car into a pole and he's got a bit of fat face. Or it's Kevin Tumidy. Remember Kevin Tumidy? Yeah. I mean, can we get a profile?
Right. And we haven't introduced former Bulldogs cheerleader, current podcast star, TikToker.
Yeah, okay.
Radio producer, Taylor Montoya.
Cheers. Thanks for having me, team. Thank you. What a warm welcome.
Now, Mark, can you just do a summary of Taylor?
Like a rundown.
It's subtlety.
Because that's your middle name.
Subtlety and nuance, Rick.
Mm. Yeah.
I bet you can't spell either.
Okay. How subtle is girth or length written on the paper in front of you?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you that later. Sorry, you weren't meant to see that. Sawfoot.
And also joining us that you've introed earlier, Connor Watson, Roosters and State of Origin player.
Yeah. Beast.
Yeah. Or
maybe he's being quite Christian today.
Why?
Well, I don't know. It's off season, mate, but you've consumed about four of those. Paul Frank's very trendy.
It's Frank Green, though.
Yeah, well, don't
not
matter.
Paul Frank. Frank Green.
like I told you, I'm getting close to the end of the off season, so I'm tightening up a little bit.
Mm.
Not like you. Obviously, your last off season at the moment, the way
it's been for 3 months.
How you been coming?
Don't blow it all too soon.
So just getting it back to sport, Lenny. What are you up to at the moment with the Big Bash? About a month away?
About a month away. Sorry, mate. Heading off to Nepal next week.
Nepal?
Yeah. Play some cricket in Kathmandu, believe it or not.
It's wild.
You know that's the scariest runway to land at?
No.
That
I
Kathmandu.
Do now.
It's crazy. I've done a lot of research on the Everest area.
I'm not going to Nepal next week.
Why is that, Taylor?
Shortest runway as well, and it's surrounded by mountains.
Mm.
Crazy. So we'll like to
what
check
mountain?
In with you. Definitely not Everest. That's a bit further away.
You're the font of all knowledge.
I think so. Yeah, well, mate, the standards aren't exactly high.
That's not saying,
are
they?
Name's actually.
Speaking of knowledge, I've got something slightly disconcerting. If you want to know what you look like at 65. Oh,
I see where we're going.
I'm going to leave.
I was going to ask the question.
But you're going to have to eat a shit ton, right? Like,
yeah.
Like another person or something.
I've lost weight.
You actually look good.
Yeah.
The other day when you told me it takes the piss out of you for being fat, I had a good look at you and I thought, you can't really.
Back in the day, he was morbidly obese. I mean, like, if I didn't abuse him and, like, basically it's my form of training. It's like you abuse it until it goes to the cookie jar in the night and it goes. But in New Zealand, people would wind down the window and go, hey, Rick, you're fat. You know? So he would be 170 if I hadn't done that
Oh, thank you. Can I ask you a sports question? Who's the best player you've ever played with or against?
It'd be Boyd Cordner, best player I played with.
Why?
I think Australian skipper at one.
Yeah, well, he was captain of Australia, captain of New South Wales, but it was just the way he played. He's like tapped, yeah, and just consistency. You know, like I played with some great players early days. Got to play with Mitchell Pearce and Kalen, obviously at Newcastle, and then like Latrell and stuff come through with him. But I just think Boyd's consistency and how hard he played the game. I mean, that's probably why I retired at like 27.
I was in Bali with him last week, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same question. What about you? The best player that you've played with or against?
Best player, Jax Callis. Right. It's a bit of a nerdy answer, but he's just the greatest. We look at all-rounders of the modern day. This guy just shits all over him. Bat ball in the field. I got to bat with him once and I was fucking starstruck at the other end. Like, I wasn't worried about Murali bowling. I was worried about Jax at the other end, what he thought about me. But, and then obviously the king, Warnie.
Yeah.
Mate, got to face Warnie in for a boundary off my second ball. Cool. So that's enough for me.
Yeah.
I was nearly stumped first ball, but there's a king for a reason.
I've only got one Warnie story.
Yeah.
But I was on a flight after we played a game at the Basin Reserve, very much a charity thing. And he needed a ride from the domestic to the international terminal. And he was in the middle of the relationship with Liz.
You mind not whispering when we're doing a podcast? Like, it just sort of defeats the purpose.
Well, he was going out with Liz Hurley at the time. And, mate, I swear to God, like, I don't know, he must have had a GPS phone because he was texting the entire flight.
Yeah.
And that's my story about that.
Well, I mean, it's a story.
You got me the rest of that one?
No. What do you want me to, I mean, how far down the rabbit hole do you want me to go? I can dive. You know me. I like the bottom of the rabbit hole. That's where you find the real people. Halfway down the pretenders, I'll go to the... But you don't want that, not in the fair show.
No, that's a good point.
Suffice to say, she is not all she looks.
Anticlimactic, that one was.
Yeah. Well, mate, Taylor, who's your favourite sports person?
Favourite sports person across all codes?
Yeah.
Probably Andrew Hamilton. No, Lewis Hamilton. Fuck, that's how
you are. Favourite.
Is it Andrew Hamilton, the musical?
Yeah, that's the musical. That guy. Yeah, that's a great musical, yeah.
It is, yeah.
I was surprised that you didn't say your husband plays for the Bulldogs.
Me too. Yeah, well, I'm married to him, so, like, why would that be my favourite? Yeah, I get that every day. What was that?
I was just thinking you'd interpret the word favourite as fantasy, you know, and that hurt my feelings, Weaver.
Well, why? You thought you were going to be the fantasy player.
Not yet.
Only halfway down the rabbit hole.
Look, I think, can I clarify, you guys are probably getting the wrong impression of Mark and myself. I mean, we've done this show for a long, long time. And we are true professionals at this.
And we're really old, and we're trying to tag some young people into a damn sight.
This might be ruining our career, actually, if anything.
No. This will give you an idea of...
I rest high reward.
This will give you an idea of just how professional we are.
Congratulations on today's win. You guys have got a bit of a break now.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Okay, thanks very much, guys. Good effort. Tanya.
That's not you, is it?
Given the options they had available, Rick, I think essentially the right decisions have been made. Mel Meninga was two steps with the eyebrow lock and then that.
Very good.
What are you wearing?
I was wearing actually a delightful sort of a leopard skin suit.
Delightful.
But we came on and we were also promoting Nude Day, which is a sort of a thing we hold in New Zealand. We're on a particular day, people, you know, show unbridled panic.
You were selling T-shirts, yeah.
Yes, I put that over the suit, which made me look about your size. And then booted a ball in a woman's face. I can't remember it. Like, you phoned me the next day and, like, and TVNZ said, that you personally, don't be stupid, we're acting. It's a TV show, we're acting.
So I rang him at midday to say, don't forget the show's on. And he's like, yeah, I'm just at lunch. I rang him at 1, he was still at lunch. I rang him at 3, he was still at lunch. I rang him at 5, he turned his phone off. 7, no answer. We did the show. We started at 8:30. He walked in at 8:31. We were all live on TV. And I thought, I think he's been drinking quite a lot. And he couldn't talk, which is difficult for a talk show.
It was highly unprofessional, Rick.
Yeah. Sorry. Have you apologised?
Yeah, well, I am now, 30 years later. I apologise.
So one of the reasons we've come to Australia is to understand the sporting psyche of this place because, you know, you guys come over and obviously own most of the referees and all that sort of stuff, so, you know, makes it hard for us to beat you. But what about when you were playing the Warriors, you know? You've got the whole of New Zealand against you. What's that like for you as a Roosters player?
Yeah, this year we only versed them the once, but didn't have much luck. Yeah, we got touched up, I think, in the end. But I mean,
not sure you can say that.
Early on the season.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we got beat by a bit. Is that better for you?
Yeah. Don't say touched up.
Okay. Let's just change the subject.
I'm sweating. Anyway, it was great because the last couple of years, it's been packed every time you've versed the Warriors over there. Like the country's really got behind them. Yeah. Up the Waz. You a big Waz fan? One of the great Warriors legends, actually, you were telling me earlier.
On the wing.
Yeah.
Took him for a ride, I heard.
Don't go to the fucking sideline, son, because in rugby it's your friend and league it's not. We were playing once in England and, like, I ran the ball back from fullback and some guy just went and broke my nose and I just went to touch it and it was gone. It was there. So I go in half time and Frank's giving the speech and I'm just in the mirror just looking. And he said, "Hey, Mark, get back in the team. Don't worry about it. You got a nose like me now." And I said, "Well, that's not helping, Frank." It was like a pumpkin. I went back out, kicked the ball to me on the six. I booted it back on the first. That's just the league player I was.
Yeah.
You're not a big fan of wingers, are you?
No, I just married one.
Yeah, but apart from that, like as a league fan, you don't rate wingers highly?
Man, I don't know what I'm watching, to be completely honest.
Yeah. You're a cheerleader as well, right?
Yeah, that's about as what I knew on the sideline. I'd
dance when the other team scores.
Not, yeah.
Is that how you met?
Yes. Yep.
How, at the time, that's obviously, a little bit of a grey area. I just navigate that.
Yeah, well, I left and went to Parramatta so we could, pursue the romance. The chase. Yeah.
No salary cap.
A little bit playing hard to get.
Yeah. So.
What did you ever think about going to the Cowboys?
Cowboys?
Man, that's like cheerleading heaven, isn't it?
Oh, Dallas Cowboys. I thought you meant the NRL.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I was like, is it?
Townsville.
Come on. Work with me.
No, yeah, they're actual talented. I wasn't that talented. I was just there for the fun, the vibes.
And like that's disappointing.
No,
I'm joking.
Can someone give us an insight into the Aussie Kiwi cycle? You play with a number of Kiwis when you're in Brisbane?
I actually prefer Kiwis over New South Welshmen.
Wow. Controversial take, yeah.
Because we always sort of see ourselves as being Tasmanians, which I love Tasmanians.
Yeah.
But it feels like every time you come and do business with an Australian, they'll just try one finger. And if you don't make a noise, there might be another. No, like there's never a straight bat.
Can you give us an insight into the New South Wales Queensland rivalry?
I think the way I sum it up, New South Welshmen hate playing Queensland. Queenslanders love playing for Queensland. So it might be a bit deep, but
I mean, you're a proud,
you know, we're here.
Welshman, and you've played in the state of origin. What do you think about that take?
Yeah, I think Queensland love to play the underdog card. But if you look at their team, like for 10 years, they had the greatest football team ever assembled.
It was still outside favourites on Sportsbet.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Let's just go to a great Queenslander. We've got a special guest joining us now, Aussie cricket legend, Matthew Hayden.
Are you in an airport, mate?
They're nice headphones.
Cover the bald head, eh, Lenny?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a few bald heads getting around here, mate.
So we've been talking about the Aussie sporting psyche. Mac has got an opinion.
Oh, look, my theory's always been, I mean, I love the way that you guys go about your business, and probably with the only exception being the All Blacks, the Aussie attitude is, I'm going to win at all costs. And New Zealand's attitude is, well, we'd probably prefer to come second and be seen as a good guy.
The word second doesn't fit comfortably at all with me, to be perfectly honest. I don't know about you boys, but I'm not sure the last time was I born the last time we won a Bledisloe? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you probably.
So I think you know how to come first in that.
Yeah, we do, but as it we are kind of a bit afraid. to offend. We always win best and fairest. You know, it's like the 10th kid in the class who tries the 100 metre, becomes 10th, gets a lollipop. You know, what about the first, second and third? You know, in Aussie, first, second.
What about a question? A question is, were you ever worried about being nice on the field?
To a Kiwi, absolutely not. I found, in all seriousness though, I found playing against New Zealand was pretty tough because we do have a great rapport, obviously. I mean, we love and have so many things in common. Firstly, that we're a million grillion miles away from anywhere on the planet. That we've got our own junk going on, meaning, you know, we've got a beautiful environment to live. We don't have to share it with many people. I mean, Lenny and I travel places around the world where, you know, you take a breath and you feel like you've had it with about 1,000 people.
Who's the best team to have rub their nose in after the game, have a beer with and rub their nose?
I think it's a line ball between New Zealand and South Africa. And I guess it's just what I was coming back to is how you relate beyond the sporting field. And, you know, with New Zealand and South Africa, both got incredible environments to live with. You talk about fishing, golfing, hunting. Probably my favourite experience was actually the pizza guy. I don't know if he's still there in Napier. There was this bloke that you used to have this caravan out the side of the ground, and you just take over his joint and make pizzas for everyone. And before you know it, you're having a larpa, having a pizza, and talking everything but cricket, basically.
Anthony Serapitos. Right. Yeah, he's still here. Well, he's still here.
I was going to go down the cricket question route, Haydos. Me and Taylor were talking off air. She's really excited about the prospect of three Queenslanders being 1, 2, and 3 in the first test. Obviously sitting here with a New South Welshman. Just give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's still up for grabs, Linny, but you may well be right. I mean, I've always liked Matty Renshaw. When you think about how he's
Taylor's a big not fan been of Renshaw. Yeah.
Well, I suppose the thing is he's played more than half of his test matches away from Australia. And I just find as well, I don't know about you guys, but you know, you're kind of at your peak of your powers in and around that sort of late 20s, early 30s, where you've kind of got a fair bit of life behind you. You know, you're more than likely, you know, have either started a family or having a family. You're pretty financially secure. You've just sort of got more strings to your bow, and you need to have those weapons in your arsenal as well to be able to deal with those moments, which inevitably aren't always going to go your way. So I noticed Lenny in that in Matty's debut one day game, just how he had a difficult run chase. He had like 30 to get or something like that against India, and you could see him like defaulting back to old Matt Renshaw, meaning that uncertain zone for 4 or 5 balls, where he didn't have the clarity, he didn't have that wealth of knowledge that he's now got. But then he just took it all to the bank, and he just went, you know what? Stop this. I'm Matt Renshaw. I know how to make runs at this level. I've already got a test under it. Now I'm at one day cricket. I've been given a chance. And in spite of that difficult position that he was in, he just went bang. He played a little reverse sweep or something like that, and he used all of that experience. So, look, he's a dark horse. I'm not saying he's a certainty, but he's certainly a dark horse.
Yeah, I spoke to him actually about that. He said it was the guy he was batting with that he was unsure about. And a bit like ours today, first show, everyone just feeling each other out. So what do you reckon? Just pin the ears back and take it on.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Can you give us an insight into the Ashes? Taylor was just asking me about the Ashes.
I'll give you an insight as to who wins the Ashes in Australia, and that's Australia. I mean, of the 122 test matches, in spite of all the junk that's going around at the moment, 30% of time, England are on the right side for us and the wrong side for them. So it's a 70-30 ratio of how they perform out in Australia. Overall, Australia are about almost 60% wins in Ashes. You know, so I think Broadie actually made a very good observation. He said, in spite of saying this is the worst team since 2010, which I think is probably laughable, and even 2010 was a pretty good side, But he did say, in order for Australia to win, sorry, England to win, Australia have to be really, really bad and England have to be really, really good. You know, so that's kind of the landscape in which they walk into. Disappointingly for us, it's not at the Gabba because it's the most unique venue across Australia and the most difficult, I think, also for our home team to play because we rarely as a nation play test cricket at the Gabba. So Perth will give them somewhat of an advantage, not being the Wacker, being at Optus Stadium. Then they come to the Gabatoir, and then they go back to maybe their most comfortable venue, and that is to Adelaide. So, you know, that sort of holy trinity, the order of which has been kind of shuffled over the years, may lend a little bit more weight to England.
Big fella, I just want to know, I played a bit of cricket when I was a kid, and but a guy like yourself, how many times were you dicked by a bowler? Like they beat you and they got you out, as opposed to how many times as a percentage you got yourself out? I reckon it's 80-20. You never got done. You got yourself out. And that's where I love the yap. That's what you guys do better than anyone else in the world. Spare maybe the Poms. Maybe the Indians these days are lifting their game as well in terms of communication. But the sledge, the mental aspect, the chess game, how often are you actually owned by a team and how often do you make a mistake yourself and kick yourself on the way off?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think 80-20 maybe. It's
well, that's my show.
Great bowlers show. Bowlers, yeah, good call. Bowlers aren't quite as good as they think they are. But batters, by the same token as well, when you think about the number of times you play and miss as a batter, that's actually a bigger mistake than when you actually get nicked off.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily get rewarded with what they deserve. But generally speaking, I don't know about you, Chris, but, you know, you usually get something in your head and that slight moment of premeditation or that slight hesitation often it can be where you're just sort of thinking too much rather than just positioning yourself on the ball in the moment, you know, what the landscape of the game or the ecosystem of the game is telling you, you sort of get too far ahead of yourself. That's why you see a lot of players getting out just ahead of a milestone or just after a milestone or just after an innings break or just before an innings break. Like all those things, they're moments that you have to take on. And in spite of it being 5 days, you lose enough of those moments and you lose a test match.
Yeah, I mean, you're one of the legends, but I reckon you could count on one hand in all the games that you've played, how many times you've walked off the field and just gone, bravo, you got me. You know, you always walked off pissed off, right, because you knew you could have done something to better it. So it's a game of chess. It's mental cricket. That's what I love about it.
That's what it's called, test cricket,
right? Hey, guys, I think Maddie's got to get back to his job as an air traffic controller.
come in.
Just a quick question. Do you always wander around with a tennis ball in your hand? Is that just normal sort of behaviour for you, or
it's grip strength.
Well, actually, it's a fidget ball, but I'm on set for
didn't you get born with
for the new RSL commercial ahead of the Gabba.
Work with me, you're good.
So it's a beautiful dream home here called the Dune.
I thought that was your house.
$5, get your tickets because 13 million bucks Cunny could be yours.
Yeah. I know.
It's right next to Lenny's house down here at Burley Heads.
I know the exact house. Yeah. It's a good name.
It's a belter, isn't it? Oh, my God. What a place. You check out Burley from here.
All right, mate. Well, thank you so much for your time. And
you're looking very Miami Vice too, might I say. Great tan, white shirt. Beautiful. Loving it.
Thanks, Dossie.
See you, Chief.
Well done, old boy.
See you. Anyway.
So Matthew Hayden, great Queenslander. Was he one of your favourite players?
Yeah, he was. He took it on. Big chest, big barrel. Ran down the wicket from ball one in a test match. Things you love to see.
Because you've never really been known for blocking the ball, have you?
Oh, why would you do that? It's supposed to make you money. I don't know about you, but work smarter, not harder.
Have you always been an aggressive sort of like, you know, when you're coming through grades? Did you play much sort of a long form cricket?
Oh, I played a little bit, played about 35 games. Excuse me. Then I worked out that we fielded for like one summer all day, every single day of the summer. You right?
Yeah, sorry, mate.
Yeah.
What are you whispering?
Well, I just said it sort of looks like you bite one on the back. I can't say it.
What?
Well, I just reckon, you know, like you were yarning away and I was just going... I think you might bite women on the back of the neck when you make love. That's not a bad thing. I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, back to Dossie anyway.
Okay, stop talking, Arden.
Yeah, back to Dossie, one of my local favourites, Mad Queenslander. Loves his fishing, loves his surfing. Obviously that great story with him and Roy out on the boat, which we'll get to in another episode, but one of the best to do it.
Look, I mean, it is hard for a Kiwi being in being here in Australia because you guys do give us a bit of a hard time, really.
It's not hard.
sort of the official ambassador for New Zealand here in Australia is a guy called Chur, my bro, and we'd like to hear from him.
I bloody love living here in Australia. You fellas are women's choice, man. Good money. He's pretty funny too, are you? The thing is, as a rival sports fan, it comes with some hostility. And so then I come off looking ungrateful, bro. And then I get the old, you don't like it, off, hey. You fellas need to understand something, bro. The constant threat and the need for flawless execution in a high-risk environment create immense psychological pressure and stress. So I'm going to be a bit of a Your bunker can go and get fucked, bro. And the refs always find a way, bro. Always find a way to rip us off, bro. And you wonder why I'm hostile.
He's brilliant, eh?
Yeah. Well, I think
that's right. Yeah. Mm. Accurate for you, Mecca?
Oh, refs are the problem in every game.
Every sport. Taylor, can you help save the show, please?
No, it's long gone, I reckon. Yeah. I reckon we'll just wrap it up and start fresh next week.
Well, we have been looking.
The problem is you come to Sydney and you've got the show on Monday. And yep. You come on Friday and you think, yeah, sweet, I'll go to Bondi on the beach and just chill and maybe surf a couple of waves and legs.
It's all gone.
Legs. Mm. Next thing you know, you're in here and you're...
Where'd you go out to in Bondi? What spots?
Toddy's.
Yeah, I went to Toddy's.
Did you? Oh, yeah, did you get the burrata?
No, I didn't eat anything.
I had a beer with Rick the other day, actually, so he seen the lid
you
was
heard
off
about
a little
eight,
bit.
Yeah, and he phoned me up. He said, they were drinking... With the big ones a schooner,
yeah.
The little ones are midi.
Midis. Oh. I thought he was joking. Like, I thought. There's a few of us there, and when the round come back, and everyone's got a schooner glass, and then someone brings over a midi, I thought they'll take the piss out of it.
Yeah, yeah. What happens here? I mean,
it's a hot day. It's cold.
Yeah,
but it's got three of them.
Yeah, but it's stopping. Like a 7 ounce, right? Mm. I can live with, but a 5 ounce. Come on, playing Joel's game. So what happens in Aussie, of all places, you know, where you've got such high esteem and standards for moral etiquette?
Mm.
What happens if some prick, you've got a pint or a, what's the big one called?
Schooner or midi.
A schooner, yeah. And somebody pulls out a midi and they do it like twice. Is there some form of punishment, retribution?
Just drink it.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
But you don't give them any?
Oh, no. Yeah.
No,
if someone's got it for themselves, yeah.
Yeah, and they buy it consistently for themselves. Mm. They buy everyone handles and they just drink the little tinsies.
Yeah, we let him know. Yeah, let him know about it.
How do you do that?
Pretty quickly.
Is there a nice way to let him know? Or
just tell him he's a coward, basically.
Yeah.
Can I bring in an Aussie world champion? Twice world champion, but not at the moment. Is that right, Barton Allen Hall?
No, up until a couple of weeks ago, I was a world champion for the last 3 years, actually. But I finished place second in the recent world championship 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Sorry to hear about that, Barton. Just for everyone watching, can we get an understanding on how this competition works? Is it like do you climb the tree bare, or like, do you have equipment on? Like, is the tree bare? Is there branches?
It's pretty a complicated sport. It's basically part speed, part style, like a gymnastic style scoring system, like a subjective sort of scoring. So you need to be able to climb the tree quickly, but you need to be able to do it gracefully, and you'll lose points if you do it really roughly and bash around the tree and all those sorts of things.
You know when you prune a pine tree and you've got to go up with the big secateurs and you clip it, when you said you're doing it like bear, wouldn't that be a great thing to watch? Like going up, if you haven't pruned the tree properly, it's a high risk, it's a spectator sport, isn't it?
So you've got to prune the tree as part of the climbing?
Well, no, if you're going up at bear, you know, it's a nude up the tree.
Oh.
That's what I thought the question was. Do you
compete naked?
No.
Just recreation.
No, clothes are a requirement.
Yeah. Okay. What clothes are we talking?
Well, clothes are just pants and a shirt. You'll pretty standard sort of stuff. If you don't put on enough clothes, you'll actually get scratched really badly by a tree. So I wouldn't recommend climbing naked.
That's what I was saying.
You'd end up really scratched up. Even just in shorts, your legs get really scratched.
How tall is the tallest tree you've climbed up?
The tallest tree I've climbed was 92 meters.
Wow. Big tree.
The hardest part is actually getting the rope in. Once the rope's in the tree, it's pretty easy just to, you know, climb up the rope. That doesn't, I mean, you're obviously out of breath by the time you get to the top, but yeah, that was one of the tallest trees in the mainland. That it's out of King Lake. It's now dead. Probably still there, but got killed in the bushfires in Black Saturday.
Girth or length? What's the hardest to climb? Challenging.
Well, probably girth, to be honest, because a spreading tree can be quite challenging. Where a tall tree, once you've got the rope in, it's really easy just to climb straight up a rope. That's a piece of cake. But then as you move laterally away from where your rope is anchored, it becomes, you have to, it's much harder. You're working much harder. It's much harder to balance. And obviously, if you slip off there, you're going to go for a swing. So I would say girthy, wide-spreading trees are much more challenging to climb than a tall one.
Who is the current world champion?
A guy called James Kilpatrick.
From?
He's a Kiwi, but he was actually
He
was representing Germany. So Germany actually took it out. but to be honest, he's a Kiwi, so I think you can claim that as a win.
But in reference to his greatness being the number one, now he climbs Totaras, which is the New Zealand native Tane Mahuta, you may have heard of, the tallest tree in New Zealand. Very difficult tree to climb, as you say, because of girth.
Can I just say that Tane Mahuta is a Kauri tree?
May very well be.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I knew it was a tree. Very tall tree.
Yeah.
I knew it was a tree.
Have you climbed many trees in New Zealand?
I've been there for competitions a number of times, but there have always been trees in parks. So I've never climbed a New Zealand Kauri.
How do you reckon you go against a Fijian after a coconut?
I reckon I'd be all right. I'd give it a crack.
Can you show me your feet? I've got a foot fetish. Stop it.
Is that why you've got your shoes off?
Well, no, I wanted you to see my feet.
I don't have a foot fetish.
Well, I'm trying to turn you off.
Hey,
look, I'm trying to put a line here.
Barton, what's next for the? So this is actually your job. You're an arborist.
Yeah, correct. Yep. Yeah, earn money. Pruning trees, removing trees. A day to day is just climbing people's trees in their yards or in parks or wherever trees grow, basically.
All right, mate. Well, all the best for your future competitions, and there's no shame in coming second to a Kiwi. I mean, it's something
German. He's a German.
He's a Kiwi. So all the best, and thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.
Right, hey, before we get too far, the Kangaroos playing the Great Britain team in the Ashes. What do you think?
Yeah, I only watched the highlights, and. Yeah, two of the major ones were penalty goals. So it wasn't too, I wouldn't say it was the greatest game of rugby league, but I think from what you could see, England definitely turned up with, a bit of a fuck you attitude for the term there, but.
No need. No,
thank you. But yeah, because, you know, they've been like the last week after the first game, I think they were getting pizzled in the media a bit. Yeah. And you could definitely see that their intent was there, but. The Aussie side's just so stacked, you know. Like, look at the guys who, you know, are on the trip and aren't playing. Like, you got Mitchell Moses, Bradman Best, Dill Edwards. Like, all these guys aren't even in the side. So it just shows you, like, the level of football side that Australia is. But, yeah, I just think they're too good in the end, so.
Do you reckon Reece Walsh is the best rugby player across any code in the world at the moment?
Oh, right now I think he is.
Mm. Yeah. I mean,
got spiders on him at the minute.
So confident, and like I think with fullbacks, you can sort of see where the headspace is at, like when they return kicks, and he's running that hard. Like you watch the grand finals, semi finals, some of those tries he scored just from pure
wing. What about his defense as well?
Yeah, I know. He's
putting his body on the line. Wingers don't do that.
Well, I mean, you guys are still playing, right? But there's a moment where you believe you're going to score the winning try.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment when you go, oh, fuck, I hope I don't miss a losing tackle.
Yeah.
And that's when you're out. So it's all mental.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the physical, really.
And toilet water helps as well.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I might have to start drinking some of that next year and see what happens.
I'm lost.
Yeah.
Well, just keep up. Have you not seen that?
I can't, mate. I've been here for 4 days. You told me to come for a Monday show. I came on Friday thinking I'd contain my enthusiasm for Sydney. and somebody just basically took a jug of water and poured it on my computer. So, it's like, not working.
Oh, your mental computer.
Yeah, yeah.
About the show on Thursday.
Because
motherboard.
We did try to get hold of. Is it Source from the Caxton?
Yeah, Sterling Farquhar.
Yeah, we tried to get hold of him to give us a report from the Ashes tour, and I think he's been taking the same diet as you, Macca, because he's unable to answer his phone or talk. But we did get this. We did get this insight from his podcast,
Moonee Valley. Letting anyone they're obviously demolishing probably today. They're probably ripping that place down.
Yeah.
Anything that wasn't nailed down to the ground was able to be taken by some punters. So there was people everywhere. I saw some geezer take about 8 metres of rail with him. So imagine him just getting onto the train, trying to manoeuvre that rail. But it had the Ladbrokes Cox plate. Like it was.
It would have been great. I mean, I saw him trying to get down the clock tower at one point.
Imagine trying to get that home and the missus goes, what? Like you'd be blind as a bat, probably done your crack on the punt. Where's this going, sweetheart? I was going to put it in the living room. I think that'll look great.
I reckon probably some of the most Australian people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
No,
they sound really Australian to you.
Yeah,
very.
And it's about the change. So the Caxton's just been sold to Uncle Nick.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Connor's probably going to have a bit of memorabilia up on the wall.
So it'll be full of roosters.
That'll be interesting post game, won't it?
Yeah, because it's like it's got the State of Origin 8 in a row up there at the moment. Obviously, iconic Queensland pub.
Mm.
About to get tipped upside down.
People don't like Nick's a Queenslander though.
Mm.
Yeah,
people don't know that.
Though. Yeah, people don't know that. They just think.
So the NRL own pub across the road.
There you go.
Gambaro's Hotel. So famous Caxton Street.
Look, here's a question for you. I asked ChatGPT, who was the greatest living Australian sports person? Macca, who do you think's the greatest living?
A little bit of Homer Simpson side on. Can you just get
I'm surprised you can see that.
Can I go back to my question?
You got mortgage eyes.
Can I go back to my question?
One's variable.
My question, who do you think ChatGPT thought the greatest living Australian sports person was?
Oh, mate, I'll tell you what. Don't worry about ChatGDP. Worry about AI. AI. There's a lot of people around the world who had a one-child policy, right?
No, we're not going there. We're not going to the robot. No.
The robot posse.
What is the who do you think is the greatest living Australian sports person? I'll start with you. Who do you think ChatGPT came up with?
Mm, I don't know. I feel like Chat gets a lot of things wrong, so it'd be something weird. But personally, I'd say Cameron Smith.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a big call.
It's new age. I'd say Don Bradman, but it's like a bit cliched.
So when I said the word greatest living, that was a sort of giveaway.
Oh, Wally Lewis. Then.
Okay. Taylor, who's your pick?
Mate, I use ChatGPT to look up most famous serial killers.
Did you?
Yeah, not.
So who was the most famous serial
killer? Ted Bundy is at the top of the list. Worldwide, not
even. The guy we buried the people under the
John Wayne Gacy. Made,
yeah, him.
Yeah,
dressed up as a clown.
I've watched the whole series.
There's something wrong in the motherboard.
Did you watch it?
No shit. No, I watched one episode and went,
not for you.
Who'd watch that?
Surprising. I thought you'd been to it.
Do you like serial killers? Is that the
same? I don't like them, but
there's been research.
Like I like crime.
There's been research that says that like people who watch that stuff are trying to actually work out. You know, what was the significance of their contemplation, how to do it?
Well, I'd be careful if I was you then, mate.
I'm not married to you.
Marcella needs to watch out.
Doesn't matter. People go for odd victims all the time.
37.5?
My shoes?
Yeah.
37?
I'm out.
So what about, going back to my question, Lenny?
Like most decorated?
No, who is the... the greatest Australian living sports person.
Define great, greatest. Well, is it Olympic medals? Well, just
both longevity, performance, global impact, cultural impact.
Brock Hunter, but he's not there anymore.
No. Oh, I think
greatest it's living.
Probably the swimmer, Emma McKeon.
Oh, see, that's a big call.
Or like Thorpe was up there.
Yeah, but he doesn't have as many medals as Emma.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, according to ChatGPT, it was...
Can you do that again? Because that was so unprofessional.
I'm unprofessional. The person that they named was Rod Laver, tennis player.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah,
yeah,
fair.
Followed by Dawn Fraser. But then Emma was up there. Ian Thorpe was up there.
Cathy Freeman up there?
Yep, yep.
Can we just put up Cameron Smith top five? Rather than you.
What, the golfer?
You Cameron Smith. It was a big call.
Yeah, but it's like biased, though, yeah. Rugby league to me.
Yeah.
What about the Chapels and Border?
Yeah, well, no, they're not.
Jeff Thompson. Jeff Thompson, greatest guy on and off the field.
Great man.
Love yeah. him. Like,
got a lot to do with
not Tom, only mate. Could he sling, like, woof, and he reckoned that when the ball passed the wickets, it was doing 160K. When it hits a wicket, it's doing 10% less.
We'll get him on the show one day.
I had a great yarn to him, and I love it. And he said, mate, you know how I know that I was bowling 160? No fucking tail ender played a forward defensive. It was just so cool.
True story. Man. He bowled a bouncer and it went over the side screen.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he said when Packers thing came along, though, because he and Lily had gone,
yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but out the front of the hand is where they took the reading of the ball. Yeah, not after it hit the wicket, lost 10% and gone through to the keeper, which is what he was doing at 160. Mm. So it's 176. Have you played any sport?
You played in Italy, didn't you?
Yeah.
Rugby in Italy.
He's a hot dog eating champion. he's fucking massive in Japan.
Yeah, Australia, we'd like to apologise that Sports Cafe has decided to visit your shores. We found some Australians and we brought over the biggest pain in the ass you could ever imagine.